Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's the refreshing!
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Welcome in. We have a 4.5 hour broadcast talking about sports coming up here for you. General at your service, Eddie. There's Brian Broaddus, the former Cowboy Scout, Super Bowl champion. Krusty's Corners coming up at 3:40. Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup Master Control here, 75 and 6:35. LA Live is coming up at 5:40. Of course, you have Woolchuck and Schiafalli, your Nosebleed Brothers. Top 10's right around the corner. Aiden Butler is coordinating your video. And along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. So, yeah, welcome in. We're going to talk a lot of football today, both American tackle and international football. CY is coming up at 4:20. Weekend didn't go perfect, did it? But it ended with some glory yesterday against the Red Sox. They're once again just one game from 500. Maybe the coolest thing running right now with the Rangers, they scored all six runs against the lefty Connolly early in yesterday's win. And they have faced four left-handed starters in their last nine games and scored 18 runs in 19 and two-thirds against them. Ding dong, the witch is dead.
Hell yeah, baby. Go smack around that lefty pitching. Let's go. I love it. That's nice, man. 18 runs in 19 and two-thirds innings. That's pretty damn impressive.
Very impressive.
Hell yeah. Yeah. That's a big change up from what it was. And it was like, yep, maybe you'll get a couple of hits and no runs.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt, dude. They were getting owned.
Yeah.
And I mean, they made some roster adjustments. They made some tactical approach adjustments. And early in this season, it did not appear to be going anywhere. But about 3 weeks or so ago, this started a trend changing, but over the last week and a half, it has massively accelerated, and we'll talk with CY, get his takeaways on that coming up at 4:20. They did have a World Cup takeover at Fenway yesterday. You guys catching ear and eye of that?
The Scottish fans, they were so loud. They were singing. I mean, some of the videos on social media of the Scottish faithful there in Boston, that's kind of been some of the best parts of this. It's just like the Dutch fans, the Japanese fans here yesterday, getting to watch, you know, the army walk for the Netherlands was incredible. But the Scottish fans are having an absolute blast in Boston for them to get the win in their first match. And then just the noise and the energy they were able to bring. I mean, Evaldi was talking about it felt like a postseason atmosphere. He pitched like it was as he's able to go seven innings. But that's been certainly a big time takeaway.
I think the fans are just such a huge part of the World Cup experience, and for them to get together in the thousands and decide, hey, let's go to a baseball match together and give these Yanks a little taste of, you know, how we get down. A number of Rangers players afterwards were saying it was the most fun game they'd ever been involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, maybe those were guys that did not participate in the 2023 World Series. But I think as far as just a regular season type of deal, that was pretty dang cool. And Rangers are back home to host the Twins tonight. It'll be Mackenzie Gore on the hill. And last time I checked, Minnesota had not announced their starter, but I'm sure we will get that for you throughout today's show. Jared Sandler's coming up at 5:20. And Woolchuck is going to have his proper round tripper for you coming up at 6 o'clock as we approach the pregame, which will be at 6:30. George Pickens is at Cowboys minicamp. That's a story. I think it was Clarence Hill who had it first this morning?
It was.
Yeah, so congrats to Chill for having another breaking story. I guess the next question would be, how much is he going to do, you think?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I saw –
I was asking people about what they expected. Hadn't got an answer back on that. But there were some reports that George Pickens signed because he was thinking they were thinking or he was thinking that he was going to get traded or he was hoped to get traded. The team aspect of it was that they never were going to trade George. But there's some other people that believe that George signed this the when he did because of Dallas's thought about drafting a wide receiver.
Oh, like when he signed the tag day of the first round?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That Dallas, that there was some whispers that they were looking at drafting Tyson.
Yeah, if he had a slid.
From Arizona State. And so there was thought that maybe George was trying to get ahead of that. And that's why he signed the tag, because there was whisperings that Dallas was going to draft a wide receiver and then maybe move on from him, kind of a thing. So that's why he signed the tag. That's just some thought.
Yeah.
But talking to people in the organization, because there's been some reports that like he signed it because he thought
there was
he was
a lot of reporting
traded.
That week.
Yeah.
Remember, we were at Pluckers. And you guys got in the vehicles and you're heading up to Frisco and Chief and I were reacting to an Adam Schefter report.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was saying that Pickens plans to sign his tag, but then it was like all weekend of the draft where the reports were like he hadn't done it yet. It was kind of just like a verbal thing.
Yeah, a verbal agreement.
This is what he is planning on doing, but it wasn't until I guess later or earlier in the week after the draft weekend where he actually signed it. And by then you would have known they didn't go get the wide receiver to replace.
But remember,
you.
There was like a trade buzz component of it. Somebody had a report that Schefter. George could get dealt, or was it Ocho? Ocho had the early one in the day, and then there was an insider component to it. That like George is going to be a happy man tonight, and then we were thinking that maybe he could get traded. So, and that's I think that's an important thing to circle back on because it would significantly complicate things if we found out George Pickens is just waiting to be traded.
Yeah.
Well, I think his agency kind of floated it out there. Nobody bid on it. So I think now it's, you know, they tried, but nobody's wanting to. That's kind of the big thing of why I just didn't see what is the benefit of you missing mandatory minicamp. The rest of the league out basically told you, like, hey, we're not interested right now. We're not going to give you at least the extension that you want to get, at least now. We need to see it another year. But it's also all the other stuff. Like, can you prove that if we're going to give you this kind of money, you're going to be doing all the little behind-the-scenes stuff? It's not just showing up and playing on game day. It's being where you need to be, when you need to be there, and not just going by, you know, the beat of your own drum type of thing.
Couldn't he and his agency be thinking, we just need to manage this to make the Cowboys trade us eventually? And if they can't get us to play the way that they want us to play along and match up with everything that Shoddy wants, then eventually they'll be willing to take whatever the best offer is. I just can't rule out that the Cowboys won't massively mismanage this.
Yeah, and end up trying to move on from him kind of thing.
Well, are you saying very similar to what Micah, the things that Micah was doing in order to get Jerry upset enough to trade him? Is that what you think? I mean, I'm asking, is that how you would look at this?
I think George Pickens is going to be here but not do anything.
Okay.
Yeah, he's going to be like, I'm getting side work, I'm watching film, I'm trying to shake hands and talk to guys, but I'm not risking injury at all.
All throughout training camp kind of thing?
Yeah. And you know, at that point, you have to wonder, is he going to be making business decisions during the regular season?
Well, yeah, that's the interesting thing that you have to try and figure out. It's like, do you want to play it safe and then risk that hurting you in free agency? Hey, I'm healthy, but I didn't play the way I usually play, so I left some production on the field because of it, and now I'm walking into free agency healthy, but not the same type of productive player that I was.
I'm not jumping over guys.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm not the wrecking ball man is crazy to watch.
I just wonder, like, what George Pickens is thinking, and hopefully at this mini camp he can talk to reporters or go participate in everything and sort of alleviate my concerns. But I don't think that, you know, like when Dak said last week, actually, he's only worked out with me twice in the backyard, you know, like George is trying to make sure he doesn't get hurt. And I can't
blame him for that.
Can't knock him for that.
No.
Well, then it's like, why didn't you do that last year? When you were only making a couple million bucks. Like, now you're making $27 million. And you saw what being an absolute man beast does for you. Yeah. Yeah.
From a production standpoint.
I guess it would just be like...
Like last year I was willing to do it, but now this year...
I was in my rookie contract. I hadn't blown up yet. I hadn't had a great year in the NFL yet. Then I went out there and did it. I've proven it. And I feel like now I'm worth significantly more than this. So if that's the situation and the Cowboys screw this thing up and take away what is an incredible offensive potential, it might be a bigger opportunity fumble than anything we've seen from them in a long time. Maybe not on the level of a Jalen Brunson or Luka, but you've lined up, you've spent all these resources on the defensive side of the ball to try to fix your defense, to take advantage of this offense with Dak Prescott in his mid-30s. Yeah. You don't know how many more good years you have of Dak Prescott left. If you would do something in the way you negotiate contracts to alienate George Pickens so thoroughly that he's playing super hardball with you, I don't know if I could take that anymore. You know,
I think there's a couple of things we need to think about here. I think that George Pickens will be there. I don't think George Pickens will practice. Mm-hmm. And I say that, I don't know if the team is going to let him practice.
Why not?
He hasn't been around the whole time. Maybe they're worried about an injury with him. Maybe they're worried about him practicing these 3 days, running around, running routes.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, George Pickens has a hamstring injury and then or some type of soft tissue injury. It just, I'm just kind of diving into some things here. And it seems like expect him, but don't expect him to practice. And it might be not George holding himself out, the Cowboys holding him out.
Kind of a ramp up for him.
Yeah.
He's kind of off to the side. Yeah.
I know I said on Friday I wouldn't be worried about him missing camp, but if what you're hearing there suggests his body's not ready to go.
That's where I think these next 3 days, you're not going to see anything from George Pickens. I think that George Pickens will be there, but I don't think – well, Clarence reported that, right? I
mean, yes. That's, yeah. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
And it's been confirmed. Nick Harris,
Joe Hoyt,
everybody's
okay.
confirmed it now.
Dallas might be holding him out on their own and not making George have to make that decision. That's a little bit of the vibe I'm getting right now.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll hope for the best and file this under nothing really.
I'll be out
goes
there three
smoothly.
Days, though. I'll be out there and watching him and stuff.
This week?
But yeah. But I just don't, like I say, these are the final 3 days. This is it. This is after this, they're done. So we're going to go out there and cover this thing. But I just feel like that it just kind of getting a little bit of an angle on this is like, even though he's showing up, we're not going to practice him because he hasn't been a part of the things that we've been doing. Hmm. So that probably I think they're protecting him from himself.
Yeah.
To be honest with
sure.
you. Yeah.
And couldn't that be a little bit of PR too? Like he's not holding out of practice. We're holding him out.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be, but it could be, like I said, they honestly could be worried that he has not been there the whole time. And they're saying, you know, let him go out there and run around and all of a sudden get hurt. Now we're going to be behind the eight ball. They're just going to see, I think they're just waiting for George Pickens to show up at training camp and see if they're ready to go.
I really hope the Joneses don't mess this up again. That would be too much. Jake Fisher on the Steinline reporting on the Mavs saying sources have told rival teams they are very much open to trades in either direction with the ninth pick. What's this mean? I think they're probably just not in love with their options at nine. And Braden Burries is a decent option. Some folks like Flemings. You could end up with a good player, but it seems like they want to trade up for a higher ceiling player or maybe trade out for a veteran that can help them now with more certainty because, you know, with pick nine, you're probably not getting that high of an impact rookie. So if you want to win now, then we need a veteran. If you want to build longer term, I think a higher upside. So I like hearing that, but
I think a lot of teams would be in that situation if they had the misfortune of picking ninth in this particular draft. Okay, a number one potential pick, Darren Peterson, has revealed he has visited with the Wizards but does not plan to grant another team a meeting. That was Shams' report along with Jeremy Wu this morning. Teams in the lottery have taken note of Peterson's decision to only give access to Washington. DeBonta has visited with both Washington and Utah. And we're off and running here. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Man, Friday night was just electric in my house. I don't think I don't think I've ever been that fired up about U.S. soccer and that filled with optimism about what they could possibly do. A lot of it is just the finishing quality of Balogun and that left-footed strike that he had that we've seen him pull off a number of times from that area of the field, whether right-footed or left-footed. He just has an incredible ability to drive that ball into the side netting on the opposite side, and that's a shot the goalie can't get. Like, when he made that turn and then beat the second defender that was on his way, I knew it was a goal, you know? And I've never been that confident in a U.S. striker. Obviously, Pulisic was amazing. Anxious moments, as apparently he got kicked in the calf and was struggling a little bit, but he's going to be okay. I think Weston McKennie was fantastic. How about Malik Tillman?
Yeah.
You know, how about Antonio Freeman's kid, Alex Freeman?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're playing right back. Sergiño Dest, former Barcelona player. Anthony Robinson, left back, left wing, one of the top Premier League left wing backs. So, you know, the idea would be we've had this great generation and Beerhalter couldn't put it together last cycle. But now that you have maybe a world-class manager in Pochettino, maybe perfect combination of factors could allow this team to go on a run. You know, I don't know. I still remember 2002. Quarterfinals against Italy, had a shot to win that game. You know, they were almost in the semifinals 24 years ago. And around that, I think, is what I would imagine is the absolute ceiling for this team. But I think what we saw Friday night is the difference of playing at home in a World Cup and the energy of the
electric
fan base. And not only what it does for you, but what it can do to your opposition as far as demoralizing them.
And how quickly they were able to get on the boards, and all the fans are definitely into it if they weren't already. I mean, it was just an absolute BTA. Gio Reyna had a gorgeous goal to just kind of put the cherry on top. Offensively, man, I think they can compete with anybody. I do agree with you, though, that back line defensively, I thought they held up well against Paraguay, but Paraguay just might not be a great test as an offensive club. So how do they? I mean, Australia looked great against Turkey.
Well, I don't think Paraguay has given up many goals at all. Like maybe six in their last nine.
They were very stingy.
They had been tough to score on, but the USA absolutely looked world class in their ability to control their first touch, their passing accuracy. You know, so maybe this is just the beginning of what's going to be the exciting World Cup cycle we've all been waiting for. All right, we got the champ on the other side, then Wolchuk's top 10. Where are you taking us?
Yeah, let's keep the World Cup conversation going. Top 10 World Cup fan bases. Which one have you enjoyed the most so far? 877-881-1053. That's next.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's refreshing!
Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.
It's the nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Into the Pimp Cup we go. Here's Lucius with your champ.
Shoot, champ, boy.
That's right.
Shoot, champ, boy.
This piece of audio will be going for three today at 5:30. Stick around for that or come back. It don't matter, Playboy. I got it for you, though. It is Coach Steve Spurrier's favorite little rapper, Lil Boosie out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He's not a fan of the new Madden cover with Caleb Williams on there, the Bears quarterback. He paints his nails and whatnot. And they were showing off those nails on the cover. And Boosie thinks it is the end of society.
I come up under Tecmo Bowl. I never thought in a million years that I would see a Madden cover with one of the best players with his fingernails painted. A game that's sold to billions of little boys. What kind of message are they sending to these little boys? I never thought in a million years I would see this. Next is going to be lipstick on the covers, thongs. Man hiking a ball with a thong in his ass.
With a thong in his ass.
I can't wait for the next cover. You got to outdo this cover. Can't wait for the next
Somebody's
one.
Somebody's got to make like an AI thong sticking out.
Yeah.
Oh, that's got to go five, bro.
Thong.
Kelsey
thong.
Yeah, Travis Kelsey. Where you at?
Play this for you. It's
you. Tune in tonight, 5:30. Here's Wolchuk with his top 10.
Well, congratulations to Logan Stankoven as he was able to raise Lord Stanley's Cup as the Carolina Hurricanes. And they've had a path very similar to the Stars, where they've been like Eastern Conference Final, Eastern Conference Final. The Panthers have been in their way. Florida doesn't qualify this year. They had a bunch of injuries. They basically waved the white flag, said, all right, we're going to try and regroup, get healthy for next year. Carolina, clearly the class of the Eastern Conference. They're able to take on the Golden Knights, knock them out in a shutout fashion in Game 6 in Vegas. That might be the one time where maybe it's not great. Like, ideally, it's perfect. You've won a championship. You're in Vegas. Now we can celebrate. But if you're the Carolina Hurricanes and you beat the Vegas Golden Knights, is that, like, the one time where you don't really want to have one in Vegas? Because now maybe you're going out there and you've got Vegas Golden Knight fans that are serving you.
Oh, they don't know who you are.
Screw you.
They don't know who you are. Those are mostly tourists. Yeah, I think the fans are probably in their homes in the suburbs.
Yeah, because they do love their VGK, man. That is a hell of a home crowd.
The plane flight home is the fun part because it turns into nobody's in their seats. Like, it's just like a walking
just or a party.
It's a flying bar is what it is. You know, so yeah, that and a cross country flight like that.
Oh yeah,
that'd be a lot of fun.
You're gonna be able to enjoy that. I mean, it was the championship weekend, really, with the Canes winning yesterday, the Knicks winning, the World Cup's been absolutely fantastic. The UFC fights last night were amazing. It lived up to the hype for the sports weekend that we didn't really know that we were gonna have just absolute incredible sports, but. Man, for Dallas, it's like, all right, here's Logan Stankoven. He's a champion. Jalen Brunson, he's a champion. Casey Smith, hey, congratulations. We had DeMarcus Lawrence leave, go win a Super Bowl. It's like a lot of our old friends are just champions, and we're sitting here like, oh, gosh, dang it. Why?
You just want one, man.
Casey Smith with a nice tweet. Did you see his tweet?
Yeah, he really stuck it to him.
He basically said, hey, and he listed off like three. He congratulated Brunson and a couple other, I guess, some
well-deserved
people on his training staff. He said, they didn't want us. Look at us now kind of thing.
But I was blown. I mean, yesterday, you knew it was going to be cool. But I thought, I mean, shout out to Dallas Stadium. I mean, the pitch looked incredible. Mm. First off, the grass was like, can we not have this? Can we get this for Cowboy games?
They got the lights hooked up now.
Oh, my goodness. It looked absolutely gorgeous.
Does FIFA to leave those lights?
I think they crushed it. I mean, as a host stadium, it looked absolutely beautiful. The match couldn't have been any better.
Got something on that glass, too. No glare.
The tint on the glass. No glare. Absolutely. I mean, that looked great. And then both the crowd pops in there with Japan and the Netherlands, like back and forth. The game ended up being brilliant.
Blue and orange is good in a crowd anyway.
It was, dude. It was so cool. I mean, it was just like really neat. The World Cup is in our city right now.
It is. Oh, it's fantastic.
It's just like, wow.
Yeah. I'm digging
the hydration breaks during these games.
You like them because I will say the broadcasters are taking some big shots.
I love the hydration breaks.
Oh yeah, you need your hydration.
Hey man, we're playing indoors.
It's controlled.
We got some air conditioner going. Let's have a hydration break. I'm digging it.
It's actually a chilly 72.
I'm sure Jerry Jones loves the idea of a hydration break, more commercials, but you know he shot down the idea of leaving the regular grass down. No evidence it's just so much better looking.
It really is.
I don't know how you can watch these artificial turf stadiums and think that looks cool. It looks like plastic.
Yeah. I mean, once you see like how good that grass looked, we got to do something.
Especially if
this.
The aesthetics matter so much, and that's why he likes the sun rays poking in through the glass.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll tell you the stadiums are built to be a TV set.
Right.
Now more than for the comforts of the people sitting in the seats. So, let's go, Jer. I think we need the NFLPA to make a bigger deal out of this. I think the owner's pretty dug in. They must be saving a boatload of money.
For sure.
Yeah, that's probably a big reason.
Well, they also, if you notice, when they have high school games come in or college games, mm-hmm. they completely roll in and out turf.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got it already stitched, already marked, and all they do is roll it out. So something's going on that way, too. When they do the grass.
You have to repaint it all.
Yeah, the grass, they can't have all the events that they probably want to have. It's really easy for them to roll up that turf, throw down some dirt, and all of a sudden we've got a rodeo. Or we're riding motorcycles, or we're having cars ram into each other and stuff like that, you know. So, I think the turf, grass, having great grass. If that's the only thing you did in that stadium, have grass. But I think they're looking at it as we can't have grass because we got to pay for this place.
That's a good point.
Top 10 World Cup fan bases, and this is courtesy of one AI, okay? AI has put this together. We've got it into tiers as they've ranked the World Cup fans, and USA is 29th among the 48 nations. Host boost plus improving organized numbers is what they say for the USA.
We're terrible, you know, because we don't have songs that everybody knows. That's the biggest problem.
The chants are great.
Yeah. We all got to get like three songs.
Do we sing like When Johnny Comes Marching Home again? What songs do
he's
we sing?
He's got the ball. We want the ball. He's got the ball. We want the ball.
But it's only like the ultras, only the fans that are living it, you know, that know, and they're only doing what they can.
Yeah.
But, you know, the best countries can sort of serenade the entire stadium.
This has been some of the coolest part of it, though. It's just, I mean, yesterday, obviously, we had the great fans. We mentioned Scotland, the Open. But then also them trying all the American foods. It's like the greatest thing they've ever, you know, the simplest breakfast that we have. It's like, oh, my gosh, this is unbelievable.
You ever had haggis?
No.
And that's why they enjoy this meal so much.
You're probably right. You're probably right there. They're
surprised that we're nice.
Yeah, oh wow. You get ice with your beverages?
They're surprised that all of our cities aren't violent crimes happening.
They weren't in New York over the weekend.
Like, wait, where's the violence and the mean people?
Outside of the top 10, we've got France at 15, growing passionate core with strong vocal elements in big tournaments. The Netherlands not cracking the top 10, I think, is why this is, you know, you can't always trust AI. Orange Army, color, numbers, and flair. I don't know how the Netherlands isn't a top 10 fan base. They looked incredible. We've got Egypt up right now, 1-0 over Belgium in the 32nd minute. Egypt comes in at number 12. Deep emotional investment and a massive following. Senegal
they had
at
those,
11.
They have their pharaoh hats that they wear. It's pretty cool.
But number 10, we begin with Scotland. Legendary.
Number 10?
Non-stop singing regardless of the score.
Yeah, we saw that last night.
When's the last?
Scotland at 10. I don't think they'd made
a World Cup
in 26 years.
That's what I'm saying. We hadn't seen Scotland in forever.
So they've been patiently waiting for their moment. Yeah. And they are making the most
Kenny
of it.
Kenny Dalglish or somebody like that was probably playing back in the day.
9 is Germany. Highly organized, loud blocks, and consistent high-volume support.
Yeah.
Boy, they put up a touchdown and the extra point yesterday. Big time 7-1 victory.
Oh, yeah.
Carousel.
And Carousel got up 1-0.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, my God, are we going to get an upset? No, nope. Germany said, nah, let's go ahead and put you back in your place here. Uruguay coming in at number 8. Fierce loyalty and intensity from a small nation.
By the way, Uruguay was, who did they play Dawson in the match yesterday afternoon? They got upset.
Oh, they play today. They play Saudi Arabia coming up at 5 o'clock.
Oh, who am I thinking of? Oh, Uruguay played.
Yeah.
Who was I thinking of that played? There was somebody that really.
Are you thinking about Turkey or Ecuador?
Ecuador.
Ecuador lost the Ivory Coast.
Ecuador is the one who lost the Ivory Coast.
Yeah, the Ivory Coast. That's the coach you like.
Yeah.
The Ivory Coast.
You had to post twice.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
7, we've got Colombia.
Very chanty.
Vibrant, colorful, and party focused travelers.
Very party focused.
Mexico comes in at 6. They got the host advantage plus massive L-tree crowds and rhythmic chants. And boy, they showed up for FanFest last Thursday. That was huge.
Trey?
El Tree.
Is it Trey?
I've heard Tree.
T-R-I.
Tree.
Tree.
Tree? Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah.
Top five, World Cup fans ranked. Number five, Morocco. Outstanding organization, energy, and huge backing. Four, England. Massive away support, iconic chants, and growing scene when it comes to organization. I don't know how they can be that hammered and still be organized. Like the English fans and the Scottish fans. The Scottish fans will drink out of beer now. You better make sure you are fully stocked at whatever stadium is going to host a Scottish match.
I think they have some non-drinkers who are pretty serious about it.
And we're just...
And all the drunks know to
they'll get
follow his lead.
Yeah.
Follow me!
Part of the culture.
We have designated cheers.
We do. Three is Turkey. It's a bit of a surprise that they're this high. I haven't seen a whole lot of Turkey hype lately. And that was, man, a bit of a abysmal performance against Australia. It made me feel like the U.S. can run away with this group. If they can find a way to beat Australia, I feel good about it. Unless it was just a stinker for Turkey. Maybe that was a wake-up call for them.
Speaking of Turkey, did you see Landon Donovan's new hair?
Oh, yes. Looks so much better.
What a comeback, bro.
My gosh.
What happened to him the first time?
Well, he didn't go to advanced hair.
He didn't go to advanced hair, and it's one of the biggest on-screen television mistakes
we've ever. What was his excuse? Didn't he have like a weird excuse about it? Look that up. Look that up for me. Two is Brazil. Samba energy. Massive colorful contingents. Very juggy. Tremendous butts. Number one.
Did it say that?
It did. Argentina. Is Argentina. Voted as the World Cup best fan base. And I get it.
I one time sat in 1994, I sat in the Argentine section.
How was it?
And it's wild. You have to jump the whole game. You have to bounce the whole game if you want to talk to somebody. Because everybody around you is bouncing, so you have to bounce with them to talk with them. That's when Maradona got suspended for drugs.
Oh, wow.
And Bulgaria beat him in a match. I thought the Argentine fans were going onto the pitch. I thought they were about to cause some problems.
They're storming the field.
I mean, it's crazy. Sitting in their section was a lot of fun.
All right, Landon Donovan had a screenshot where he was getting roasted by his buddies in the text.
Mm-hmm.
This was a couple years ago when he had the worst hair situation in television history, and he says had a hair transplant procedure 2 weeks ago and was told it wouldn't show up on camera.
Yeah.
That's right.
Is that not going to show up?
You look fine, buddy. Like, what? Five grand. The mirror is not going to be too different than what the camera is going to tell
Stop
you.
It.
So is all this growth a result of that hair operation?
Yeah,
like, he's teamed up. Like, now he's been
damn good.
Like a hair transplant advocate. He's partnered with different companies in different countries, and people are wondering whether
Brian Urlacher.
He will be cheering for Turkey
he still
or
looks
the
goofy
USA.
As hell in this Raising Cane's commercial he's doing right now. Looks nuts. And Japan did get shorted on this list, I will say. With the text coming in, shout to Japan, and they cleaned the whole stadium afterwards. The Japan fans were brilliant.
It's incredible. They're swinging around trash bags like rally towels?
Yeah. Yes, and then afterwards, they're just ready to clean up after themselves.
Terrible trash bag towels?
It's all about respect.
Was that AI or was Jameis Winston really amongst them?
Yeah, he really was.
That was real?
Yep, he was out there living his best life yesterday.
Alvin Kamara, his former teammate with the Saints, was like, yeah, people think Jameis is just doing this for television. Like, no, he's just a genuinely stand-up guy.
That's awesome. We got Mixed Bag coming up at 3. What are we doing next, Chief?
Hodgepodge, you get your choice for today's stat of the day, plus the two best words in sports, biscuits and gravy.
You know, recommendations can be great. Maybe someone recommended this podcast, and here you are. But home projects are different. If a podcast isn't your thing, you lose a few minutes. If you hire your cousin's neighbor to mount your TV, you might end up with a lopsided screen and wall damage. Maybe I know a guy just isn't enough for your home. That's why Thumbtack works. It matches you with top-rated local pros with photos, reviews, and credentials all in one place. For your next home project, try Thumbtack. Hire the right pro today.
Would you look at that?
It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Mm. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. And we have Mixed Bag coming up at 3 o'clock time now for a sports hodgepodge. Here's the Chief.
Let's go NBA Finals, World Cup, biscuits and gravy. Lots to get to right after this.
TJ Houshmandzadeh, could you just rate my guy here on a scale of 1 to 10?
You don't think it's rude what you just did?
Who's literally listening to this anyway? Is anyone listening?
Well, it
to
is
guys?
The home of the Cowboys.
Well, no one, exactly.
We
no one's
thousands.
Listening.
I did a radio show when I first got here, and they told me I was fat.
The brisket sando, that is hard to beat.
LeVar, you want to get in on this?
I'm not in on that, you rude motherfucker.
Ooh, he almost cussed.
Then they called me the Girthquake or some stupid.
I do like the Girthquake. That's a nice nickname.
Don't be
little shock jock stuff.
Article in The Athletic by Fred Katz reads, OG Anunoby does not drink. Correction, Anunoby did not drink. Then the New York Knicks won the NBA Finals. He's
yeah,
he's
guys, I'll
one.
Get drunk with you if we win it all. Sure.
Yeah, there's a time to do it. That's a good one.
He threw that out. After they won the in-season tournament, he's like, this is not the real thing. If we do win the real one, I'll have some sips with you guys. And we'll see if he can... if he can get off the booze now for any period of time.
That
after
explains
the
why
win.
He just looked so out of it. I think they did Good Morning America.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was just like in a daze.
He should have wore some sunglasses. And Carl Anthony Towns had to pick him up after that one. We run through some of our favorite things here. Knicks fans, of course, listen, they did the thing that they do, which is just go berserk. And did you guys see school buses on fire?
Yes.
If you didn't, it happened.
I was always wondering where those school buses came from, bro.
I know.
Yeah, so I think
I
it was
like
a World Cup.
It was a World Cup thing?
World Cup tour bus.
Okay, I thought they placed them there on purpose.
But they were legit school buses.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe sacrifice school buses so they don't bust
let them
up
tear
anything.
This up, you know, like a stage on Street Fighter when, you know, you got to tear up the Lexus.
Yeah.
Just like leave that out
That's
there, let them tear it up.
I like that as a city, like, hey, we're getting rid of these buses anyways. Yeah. We've been using them for 20 plus years.
Yeah, bust these up.
Just have at it, guys. And so that's what they did. Also saw some clips of some stand-up gentlemen Knicks fans who
throwing
were
trash away.
Yeah, the sanitation helping the sanitation crew.
Not so everybody's a hooligan.
You got the full spectrum of Knicks fans in championship celebration. Stat of the day: Jalen Brunson scored 42.7% of Knicks points in the fourth quarter in the NBA Finals. That's the highest share for any player in the finals since
LeBron.
Dirk Nowitzki in 2011.
Gosh. Always with the Mavs connections, man.
Josh Dubow.
You had to know it was going to go down that way in Game 5, another comeback in the fourth quarter, and the Knicks are champions.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the whole series was, dude. I mean, it is crazy to see how often the Spurs were leading these games, many times by double digits, and having, by the ESPN analytics numbers, upwards of 90% chance to win in like all of these games. 92% chance in game one, up 13. 73% chance in game two, up two with 1 minute left in the fourth. 99.6% chance of winning game four, up 20 with 9:33 left in the fourth. They lose. 96% chance of winning game five, up 10 points with under 8 minutes left in the fourth, and they lose. I mean, just absolutely ridiculous, and congrats to Jalen Brunson for now being synonymous with so many things, including being Mr. Clutch, a new era's all-time type closer.
A New York legend.
A New York legend.
You win in New York, you become a legend.
Yes, a guy who defied all of the narratives around the undersized point guards and guards
not an
in
A1
general.
Player.
Being, yeah, I mean,
they don't even beat up Broadway Joe for not winning another one.
Yeah.
We got one. He's a legend.
That's right.
Finals MVP.
I mean, the Knicks had the number one, the number three, and the number five biggest comeback wins in NBA Finals history. All in these same NBA Finals.
Wasn't it just depressing to watch San Antonio try to execute offense in about the last 8 minutes of that game?
Yes.
You had no faith they were going to snap out of it at any point.
Not at all.
Like, I wonder how this embarrassing possession is going to end next.
Yeah.
And Wemby's, hopefully, he learns from this one, because he also just wiltered in the fourth quarter of all these games.
Yeah, I think their hope is that they could con somebody into taking De'Aaron Fox for maybe a player like P.J. Washington. That's what I'd be looking to do. I need some kind of a combo forward with skill to help us rebound. Because clearly Wemby is not quick enough to get the quick rebounds. He will get the tall rebounds, but he can't get the fast or the strong rebounds. And that's tough. You know, I have a player like 7'5" and to struggle in that regard. But, you know, I think getting rid of De'Aaron Fox would be my first item of business. And then heavily promoting Dylan Harper to a more prominent role.
Yes.
I don't need Castle and Vassell and Fox being the difference-making players in key situations. I need a guy with more poise and skill.
Yeah, and Vassell was, like, at the microphone after the game saying, like, yeah, Dylan Harper's been pretty frustrated all season long
about his
role and his minutes and everything like
really?
That. And he really rose to the occasion in a big way. The super bright future for him and even for Castle. And Castle has more flaws, if you will, particularly offensively, than what Harper does, but Castle's a young stud for them.
He clearly just didn't have it in the game.
Yeah, no. Offensively, yeah. It was not there
was
at
not,
all.
It was not his night.
No. The Knicks just did plus 283 in point differential, best point differential ever in playoff history. That's what they just did. So congrats to them. Knicks get the championship. Their championship shirts look pretty sick, Lucius. Did you already snag one of those things?
Bedazzled?
Yeah.
So you can get the non-bedazzled ones for $40.
Okay.
But yeah, I think I might get a bedazzled jump.
You can get the non-bedazzled for $40.
Yeah. Pops looked at me too. As soon as they won, he's like, I bet you're going to get one, aren't you?
Yeah.
And I had. I was like, yeah, I'm thinking about it, Doc.
Yeah. Yeah, in the first 24 hours, the Knicks have become Fanatics' top-selling overall sports champion ever, beating the 2025 Eagles. The Knicks are also on pace to become the company's top-selling overall sports champion ever, which was the Cubs in 2016. Also want to point out that the Taylor Swift tush seat has been sold for the small price of $40,000.
$58,000.
$7,000, man.
Oh,
wow. $7,000.
It's a bit of a letdown.
To a big-nosed gentleman somewhere.
That's a kick in the
around
ass.
Around the globe.
Here it is.
You have the fans congregating all throughout the country in support of their own countries and watching the soccers. Japan comes into AT&T Stadium, Dallas Stadium. Gets it all cleaned up, and they love what we have here in Texas. Listen to them here, Lucius. Everything is big in Texas.
Where are you guys from? Where is everyone from?
Japan.
Hey. What do you think of America, of Texas?
Texas is good. Everything is big.
It is good. Everything's
that's,
big.
That's a pretty good summary of what you have here in the great state. And then you also have...
Wait, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
No.
Do we have video of her asking this question?
Yeah, there's video. Yeah.
Are they dressed up in Japan gear?
Yes.
They have their Japan kits on.
Do they look like they're from Japan?
They do.
You don't want to assume, man. They might say, hey, man, I'm from Texas. Believe it or not, shocking revelation.
Born in Dallas.
I'm wearing a Japan jersey.
I'm wearing a Japan jersey.
And
I look like I'm Asian, right? Yes. Where are you guys from? Wyoming. Great.
Canada.
Glad to have you.
Making small talk. We need a 9-second clip. I have a pretty good assumption, but I don't want to assume anything.
Got a Rising Sun headband on. Where are you from?
He's white.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. Okay.
No,
Back to you, Eric. I
get it. I get it. Now, I do love the fella who has taken over on Twitter. There's been a handful of them. Who is it? No, not Freddie.
Freddie's living his best life. JJ Watt just hooked him up in Houston.
Yeah, he is living his best life. But there's this guy that is writing, like, some of the best writing you've ever read is on Twitter right now. This guy just experiencing America. He's from Japan. And he's in town, and he's eating at different places, and he's just blown away. Listen to this write-up, okay? This is incredible storytelling.
Jack in the Box?
USA, a breakfast counter. The waitress recommended the biscuits and gravy, and when the plate arrived, I thought something had gone wrong in the kitchen. I say this with shame. The dish looked like a construction site after rain. Pale mounds, gray ladle fall, speckles I could not identify. In my land, the eye eats first. A meal is arranged like a garden. This meal was arranged like weather. Is it finished? I asked carefully. Honey, that's what it looks like. The man beside me was already eating his. He did not look up. Quote, just try it. I'm a man who has charged hillsides at dawn. I raised the fork. I tried it. I must now formally apologize to the biscuits, the gravy, the waitress, the kitchen, and the entire breakfast tradition of the American South. It was magnificent. Warm, peppered. The biscuit drank the gravy the way a field drinks rain. That is why it is shaped like that, you fool. And every mound I had insulted was a soft fold of comfort that my homeland in 800 years never once thought to invent. Well, the waitress asked. I judged it. I confessed. By its appearance, I am ashamed. Everybody does, hun, she says. Everybody does. A national dish that forgives you for doubting it. It expects the doubt. It waits for you on the other side of it. Do not judge the gravy by its face. Judge yourself for hesitating. I order it every Saturday now. I no longer see the construction site. I see only the garden. It was a garden the whole time. The eye must be trained.
That's Let's tremendous. Go.
That's awesome. Brilliant.
Welcome that to America, brilliant. My man.
That is brilliant.
Where are you from? Yeah.
That's what Hunter S. Thompson did for Sports Illustrated at the Derby, just like that.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. You're like, I am invested in this guy's Twitter account in a way. He did a chips and salsa one I'll have to read to you guys a little bit later. Free chips and salsa.
Chips and hot sauce?
He's freaking blown away.
Man. Yeah, it's crazy.
All right, we got one That's down, amazing. 3.5 to go. Thank you, Chief. Mixed bag coming up next, Wolchuk.
Let's do it. Let's go ahead and compare some Cowboys starters to World Cup players. A little mix and match next to the Nation.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.